Garrison Keillor once said, a book is a gift you can open again and again. Today, we'll find out about the best new books for giving and receiving this holiday season. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, I'll talk with Jan Weissmiller and Paul Ingram of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City and Nancy Simpson Bryce from the Book Vault in Oskaloosa. They've prepared their lists so you can work on yours. We've got fiction, nonfiction, humor, mystery, books that will make you cry, poetry to elevate the spirit, and a great deal of fodder for thought and conversation. So get your pens ready. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's time for our annual holiday season book show. Coming up next Monday, we'll find out all about the best new books for children. But today, the books that we want on our own lists. Jan Weissmiller and Paul Ingram of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City are here today. Hello, Jan.
Hello, Charity.
And hello, Paul.
Hi. Good to see you.
Thank you so much for being here today. And also with us today, Nancy Simpson Bryce, former manager of the Book Vault in Oskaloosa. Hello, Nancy.
Hello. Thank you for inviting us.
Well, thank you so much for coming today. And Jan, I think we're going to start with you today. We'll dive right in. And of course, we're going to talk about all of the books on your lists. We'll also be posting this list online later today on our website, iowapublicradio.org. But you might want to have a pen standing by during the hour for that title you just don't want to miss out on. All right, Jan, what's your first pick?
Well, I have, for my fiction picks, I have three collections of short stories and one novel. So maybe I'll start with a novel. And it is Everything I've Never Told You by Celeste Eng. It's spelled N-G, but it's pronounced Eng. And it is a novel that's sort of a mystery. It's not a mystery. It's not genre fiction, but it's surrounding the mysterious disappearance of a teenage girl named Lydia. And so each member of her family has their consciousness examined as they're trying to find out what happened to her. And it's an Asian American family, and it's set in Ohio in the late 1970s, which is interesting. And so you get flashbacks into the parents' meeting and marriage and how sort of it's a very loving, very close family, but they've all experienced these sad reactions to their mixed racial family, and they haven't told each other about it.
Oh,
and so it just you just sort of builds this feeling about how we often don't talk to the people that we're closest to about the things that are most emotionally hard for us. And it's a really good book. It's really vivid and well written.
It doesn't sound fun.
No, I know. But you know,
right, but it
by today's standards.
But it isn't, I mean, but there's nothing unnecessarily, you know, I mean, the bad things that happen in it don't feel unnecessary.
Right. And it sounds like it really resonates. It feels true.
It feels very true.
All right. That's Everything I Never Told You by Celeste Ng. And Paul, what's your first pick?
Well, my first pick is a book by a local, and it's looks like it might have been self-published, or at least published by a very small publisher, Slow Collision Press. The book is called All the Help You Need, a Vic Pasternak novel by Sean Preciado Janelle, or maybe Gunnell. It's about an Iowa City cab driver who drives around at night, and he has owned a couple of the various cab companies that he works on and talks about. It's kind of a noir. It was a tough night for the cabbies, you know, that kind of thing. And he is very, very funny and absolutely believable.
And is it set in modern day, or is it?
It's set. Yeah, it could be tomorrow. Next night shift is a slow hell, even for a Wednesday. The suffering taverns are cheerfully lit but empty, like the box left behind when the shoes go out dancing. The heart of downtown chokes with dozens of unneeded cabs, and every company represents like corner gangs squared against the other cliques. He's got a very, very nice style. And one of the things is he's always working at night. And because he is always working at night, all kinds of strange things and strange aspects of Iowa City take place. I'm really high on this book. They're calling it a Vic Pasternak novel, which means I hope that he's
going to
do some
more. Oh, yeah. Great. All right. So All the Help You Need, a Vic Pasternak novel, and I promise we'll learn how to say your name, yeah. Sean Preciado Ganell. That's my best guess at the moment.
I'm not fortunate enough to know him.
All right. Sounds like a fun read. And Nancy, now we're over to you for your first pick.
For my first pick, I'm going to take Paul up on his challenge, kind of a challenge. When I asked him about this book, he said, oh, that would never work on radio because you have to see it. It's called Bats of the Republic, an illuminated novel. And illuminated refers to all of the original artwork and handwritten notes and maps and sketches that are in this book. I like it because it guarantees that the physical book will stay around because there's no way you're going to be able to put all of this stuff on your Nook or Kobo, whatever. There are two storylines, one taking place in 1843, the other in 2043. And it's just, I would recommend this book for the hard-to-buy-for person on your list. It's filled with adventure, science fiction, political intrigue, future dystopian struggles, and, of course, love.
And amazing pictures.
Right. Best of all, my Random House rep says, it'll make you look incredibly hip if you give it to a nephew or grandson.
That's it. That is so true.
And we do want to look hip.
Who doesn't?
All right, and a nephew or a grandson, you're thinking probably over the age of 14, 15.
Yeah,
this is not a book for kids.
Freshman in college.
Okay. All right. Well, then. We may not be the best room of people to give advice on how to be hip, but yeah. I think it looks like a beautiful book. Mm-hmm. All right, Jan, back around to you.
Well, I have the 100 Years of the Best American Short Stories, which is edited by Laurie Moore, and it is, as we say at Prairie Lights, a thick tome.
It's very thick.
Although
yes.
The paper's kind of thick itself, too.
And you can stop every once in a
yeah,
while.
Right.
Short stories and, give you some breathers.
But it begins in 1915, obviously, and ends in 2015. And it doesn't really have any – we were talking about this before we went on the air. It doesn't really have any major surprises in terms of who's included. And
but I think that's probably okay, given that it's – an anthology of the best American short stories. You should have heard of most of these people,
yes.
Right?
Oh, yes, yes.
A century's worth.
Right. So it starts with Edna Ferber in 1915, and then in the 20s it has Sherwood Anderson, Ernest Hemingway, and Ring Lardner. And I'm just a couple of surprises. David Wong Louie, who actually went to the writer's workshop in the 80s, and I don't think is famous in the least, so it's kind of nice to see him included here. And but what's one of the really wonderful things about this book is Laurie Moore's introduction. I don't know, she doesn't include herself, but one should read her because she's very quick-witted. Uh-huh. And so she says, It's a lovely shock of mercy and democracy to find that we need to spend time in the company of people whose troubles we might ordinarily avoid.
Oh, wow. She's very clever.
Yeah, she's very clever, and she talks about going on book tour for her own short stories and having all these questions asked of her that she can't answer, and then having to repeat the questions, and so that it becomes very like very sort of surreal. And but she keeps saying over and over in this introduction that a short story is about love. It is always about love, and yet it is not a love story.
All right. 100 Years of the Best American Short Stories, edited by Laurie Moore. And Paul, back to you.
Okay. I have the most interesting and fun Obama book.
Now, ever. I saw the title of that, and I thought it was probably a spoof.
No.
Okay.
The title is The Audacity of Hoop, which is a spoof title on The Audacity of Hope, which was his introspective book. This is about basketball and what it means to Barack Obama and to the people he hangs out with. And starts out, he was a good, very good basketball player in high school, but he didn't get to play that much because his team was too good. And there's a great scene where when he gets, after he's president, he gets back to Hawaii and talks to his coach, because he had really given his coach a lot of crap about not playing him more. And Obama felt bad about that, because he said, and all he wanted to do was find this coach and say, "Coach, I wasn't that good."
You're forgiven.
Do they talk about isn't Michelle's brother a basketball coach?
Yeah. He is.
And I remember,
there's basketball all around his life.
I remember reading in the biography of Michelle, which is also a really good book. I think it's just called Michelle Obama, and is would be a great Christmas present. But I remember reading that when she introduced him to his family. Her brother took him out to play basketball because that's how you could really tell what kind of person, how he handled himself on the court, both how good he was and how, you know, sort of polite in his playing he was. And he was perfect.
Yeah.
Passed the test.
And that's how it that comes up a handful of times in this book. And you find out who inside the Beltway is really good. You know, maybe played college basketball for a small college team, and what they kind of say, they're always saying sort of nasty things about each other's game.
Right, a little bit of trash talk. Oh, that's fun. All right, that's The Audacity of Hoop. By
Basketball and the Age of Obama by Alexander Wolf, who is a Times reporter. And it is a great gift.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment with more great books for your holiday list. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, our annual holiday season book show next week. On Monday, we're going to talk about books for kids. But today, we're talking about books for grown-ups. And with me, Jan Weissmiller and Paul Ingram of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. Nancy Simpson-Bryce is also here, former manager of the Book Vault in Oskaloosa. And Nancy, it is your turn to give us your next pick.
Okay. I think it's about time for a thriller. Descent by Tim Johnston. Not necessarily new this year, but new out in trade paperback, which is at about the $16, $17 price range. And I tried to look for some of those for those of us who have some kind of budget to go on. This is a story of a family from Wisconsin who have they've fallen in love with the Rockies for their vacation place. And this particular summer, they go to the Rockies, as usual. But it's an extra special time because Caitlin is going to be going away to college, and they know that this is kind of the end of an era. Caitlin is a runner, and her brother is also athletic. So they go out one day sort of daring each other, who can get up the mountain fastest, farthest, and so on. And they meet the bad man, and Caitlin is kidnapped.
If it's going to be a thriller,
yes, you need a bad man. Right. Yes. So, and he's especially bad because he caused her brother to have broken legs, so the brother can't help Caitlin. And so, you know, you go through the parents' first discovery and then despair, and the brother's feeling terrible because he was not able to help Caitlin. We go through all of this. You know, the suffering that the family goes through really sounds cheerful, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's a thriller.
And years pass. And I don't want to tell the ending because that would take away the thrilling part. But let me tell you that it does indeed get thrilling. And your heart is thumping and
it's a real page turner. All right.
One reviewer said of this book, it makes Gone Girl seem gimmicky.
Oh. No. Okay.
I would give this to the people on your list who may not like to read that much. Uh-huh. This will grab them.
All right. Descent by Tim Johnson. I like that it's a Midwestern family, too. Yeah. That's a nice connection. All right, Jan, back to you.
Well, so I've got another possibly bleak book of short stories here, although, and it's Joy Williams, and it's called The Visiting Privilege, and it has been getting just really fantastic reviews. I mean, people are calling it, you know, one of the most essential books of the year.
Wow.
And she was in the Writers' Workshop in the 1960s, so she's been writing for 50 years, and this is her collected stories, new and collected stories. She's also written some novels. And she's interesting. They do have that sort of minimalist Raymond Carver kind of feel to them, she's able to describe characters from many walks of life and many social and economic levels, which is interesting. I mean, she's still got that sort of wry, sardonic, very observant way of describing things, but not everything is taking place in the same social strata, which is very interesting, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one really amazing story in here called Brass, which is really about a boy who is going to end up being a murderer, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's more revealing than any of the long profiles of all these kinds of people that we read about after one of these things happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Visiting Privilege?
By Joy Williams.
All right. And Paul, back to you.
Okay. The New and Improved Romy Futch. F-U-T-C-H. By Julia Elliott, who is a South Carolina
You're
writer.
Asking for trouble.
No.
No
you'll
trouble
get none
here.
From me.
Right. No.
And the main character here is the basic sort of low-end Southern loser of a character. And he is a taxidermist, as many, many people are beginning to realize that taxidermy is a certain low-end profession in the South. And he signs up. He wants most of all to get back to his girlfriend. And he wants to get some money. And he goes to a place called the Center for Cybernetic Neuroscience, and he has all these high-powered humanities, high-intellect things downloaded into his brain.
Oh, wow.
And he is and it is – once you get into this part, it is so funny. It is so lively. I recommended it to Jeff Carise Carlson from the Press Citizen the other day, and he ran across the street to tell me how hysterical he thought it was. I've got a lot of readers who enjoy this kind of thing, and it's someone who has at least been in the South at one time or another in their life, and who thought and who thinks a whole lot of things are funny.
All right, so it's grimy, it's Southern, it's funny,
yes.
It's a little bit of a thriller as
and,
well.
There's a character called Hogzilla, a sort of mythical Southern, and he would like, of course, to taxidermize it.
Well, who wouldn't?
You know, it's a 1,000-page wild feral pig. And I...
All right. Well, I think we're all sold on that one, Paul.
Okay.
All right. The new and improved Romy Fudge by Julia Elliott. And we are back to you, Nancy.
Well, I think I'll dovetail into both of my compatriots here. Jan, I've got a book of bleak short stories.
Oh,
and they're grimy, Paul.
Okay. Perfect.
This is called Mothers Tell Your Daughters Short Stories by Bonnie Jo Campbell. I love these stories. I don't know what that says about me, but I did.
It means you're in good company. A lot of people love Bonnie Jo Campbell.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
These are stories of strong women who get into and out of trouble with ease. Every time you turn around, they're either newly in or coming out. They can support one another as best friends, or they may end up stabbing each other in the back. Many of these are mothers, they're lovers, they have husbands, but always the trouble hangs on. These are working class ladies. You've probably had some as friends, and you've probably gossiped about the others. These are just wonderful working class women, and I think this is a volume for all of your strong women in your family.
All right.
Absolutely great book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mothers Tell Your Daughters Stories by Bonnie Jo Campbell. And Jan, we are back around to you.
Well, I brought Dear Mr. You by Mary Louise Parker, who was here last week at the Englert. And it is just a collection of letters that she's written to all these different men in her life. And it's more lighthearted than the other books I've been discussing here.
Good.
And it's just, you know, it's they're all short, but she's very quick witted, and I think everybody can relate to wanting to write letters like these to people in your life.
So, does she actually identify who they are to?
No,
because that would be even more fun. Although probably would get her sued.
Yeah. right.
Oh, that sounds like fun. It also sounds like something you could dip in and out of.
Yes, very easily.
All right. Definitely something you could read on a plane anytime you're being distracted by small children.
Yeah. In a waiting room.
All right.
In a bookstore.
Perfect. Dear Mr. You by Mary Louise Parker. And Paul, we are back to you.
Okay. We have Adam Johnson's Fortune Smiles. Remember him for The Orphan Master's Son, which won a Pulitzer a couple of years ago, a novel about North Korea that was, it was just weird. But since nobody knows anything about it, it's fascinating beyond all dreams. And this is a collection of short stories. Did this just win the
National Book Award?
Yeah, won the National Book Award. And to win for consecutive books is very unusual. And there are five or six stories, and they're longish. And they're some of them quite funny, some of them poignant. There's a story of a man whose wife is dying of some unknown disease, and his job in life has become to keep her from committing suicide. Well, she listens to what's the name of that Nirvana albums, and And he keeps himself sane by what do you call those three-dimensional videos that hold on. I can't.
Like a hologram?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ah. Okay. And he talks to a hologram of the President of the United States, who sounds quite a bit like Obama.
That would keep you sane.
And it becomes soothing to him. He asks him questions, and he gives him very nice presidential answers. And then he worries and has to get back to his wife. And it is so original. Every story in here is something you won't have thought of before. This guy is really going to be one of our great writers, I think. He hasn't written anything bad yet.
He's got a strong start.
Yeah. All right. Fortune Smiles Stories by Adam Johnson. Yep. And we're back to you, Nancy.
I have an idea for a lot of the foodies on your gifting list called Stories from the Kitchen. And it's edited by Diana Secker Tesdale. It's stories of culinary arts from all across time and all across the world. You'll have authors ranging from Charles Dickens to Nora Ephron and Amy Tan. It's a nice little hardback, but it sells for $16. So for that price and great content, it makes a perfect hostess gift or just a slip in the stocking gift.
Yeah. Well, that sounds great. Especially, it sounds like something for someone who's hard to buy for, too. Yeah.
Correct.
Sounds like most of us would love those. Right? All right. That's Stories from the Kitchen, edited by Diana Secker Tesdell. And Jan, we're back to you.
Well, I have The Czar of Love and Techno by Anthony Mara. And
it's got an old cassette on the cover.
It's got an old cassette on the cover.
Already drawing certain people of a certain age in right now.
Who remembers those?
And he is
Paul.
Okay. He is the author of a novel that did really well a couple of years ago called Constellation of Vital Phenomena. These are nine linked stories that take place in Russia between 1937 and the future.
Oh, wow.
And they sort of go back and forth between characters who are artists. There's a dancer and there's a visual artist and a photographer. And this character who is, a tool of the state. And, of course, art is dangerous to someone who is a tool of the state. And so each of the stories is this kind of interaction between trying to erase culture and trying to maintain it.
Fascinating. The Czar of Love and Techno by Anthony Mara. And Paul, it's your turn again.
Oh, I got a great local book by Mary Beth Sloninger called Finials, F-I-N-I-A-L-S, the meaning of which is, do you know what that word means?
Finials?
Yes.
You're putting us all on the spot here.
I assumed it was one of those words
Dennis, we need you.
Is it something to do with photography?
It's those things that you they're on window dressings, right?
Yeah.
It's hardware for a window treatment.
Right. Ah. What she's done
of course.
The subtitle, A View of Downtown Iowa City, is perhaps better to open with.
All right.
And if she has gone through, I don't know how many pictures of old Iowa City, from things 1850 and 60, where everybody has beards and odd little hats.
Wait a minute. That's what people look like today in downtown Iowa City.
That's true.
Historical fiction.
All right. What's old is new again, but just full of pictures, huh?
It is.
It
almost
looks beautiful.
All pictures, and they are she'll frequently put a shot that you'll recognize, you know, something from the 1960s or 70s next to the same shot 30 years previously.
Oh, fun. So you can see how things have changed.
Oh, it is the greatest gift for any Iowa City. Like, her book on the Hamburg Inn was just a joy. And this is really the same kind of joy. And it's a paperback, and it's $25. It's not very expensive. But a lot of people will like this.
So if you went to school in Iowa City, if you spent any time in Iowa City and you love the town, this is a great book for you.
Yeah, if your family went, yeah.
All right. We are going to have to take another short break. That one is Finials, which now we know means the hardware on a window treatment. A View of Downtown Iowa City by Mary Beth Sloniger. And we will take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment with more picks for your holiday book list, books for giving, books for receiving this holiday season. With me, Jan Weismiller and Paul Ingram of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City, and Nancy Simpson Bryce, former manager of the Book Vault in Oskaloosa. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, a holiday tradition on Talk of Iowa. It's our annual holiday season book show. Next week, we're going to talk about books for kids. Today, we're talking about books for grown-ups. With me, Nancy Simpson Bryce, former manager of the Book Vault in Oskaloosa. Jan Weismiller and Paul Ingram of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City are here. And we are getting a little short on time, so we're going to need to pick up the pace a little bit. And of course, this entire list will be published online later today at iowapublicradio.org. Nancy, what is your next pick?
I've got another Midwestern book, and it is also short stories, called Beneath the Bonfire by Nicholas Butler. If any of you read Shotgun Love Songs, you know how Butler nailed the Midwestern everything, the landscape, the verbiage, and just the fun. So, these are great stories. Some of them are funny. Some of them are poignant. The first one in the book is called The Chainsaw Soiree. And it's about an annual party that the young people in the small town have, and they all bring their chainsaws. And then there's another one about three men hunting mushrooms in the Driftless area. They get together every year to do this. They drink a little beer. They smoke a little pot. And then the good times turn into a tragedy. So these very unique stories, very Midwestern. I'd recommend this to about anybody.
All right. And Nicholas Butler was a guest on Talk of Iowa.
Wonderful.
So if you want to know more about him, you can go back and listen to that show,
too. He's great.
Beneath the Bonfire, Stories by Nicholas Butler. And Jan, back around to you.
Well, I have an anthology, which is called I'll Tell You Mine. And it's 30 years of essays from the nonfiction program at the University of Iowa that was edited by Hope Edelman and Robin Hemley. Robin was the director of that program for some years, and Hope is, you know, quite famous for her book Motherless Daughters, and so the introduction talks about the history of the program, which is really very interesting because it's not part of the Writers' Workshop, and it was begun in the 1970s in the English department, and it is actually still it does usually rank as the top nonfiction program in the country, and it is the oldest nonfiction writing program in the country. And in 1985, Carl Klaus turned it into an MFA program, and they sort of talk about the different – they start in the 80s then with the essays that are in here. And so there's a lot of people that are included in here that probably are known and others that aren't. Joanne Beard, who wrote the essay Fourth State of Matter. It's a very famous essay about the murders in the physics building at the University of Iowa. And she's got a collection called Boys of My Youth. And she has an essay in here. Will Jennings, who lives in Iowa City, has one. John DeGatta, who's the current director of the program. And they're very diverse, both in terms of style and subject. And it's a really great anthology.
All right. Sounds like a wonderful collection. I'll tell you mine. 30 Years of Essays from the Iowa Nonfiction Writing Program, edited by Hope Edelman and Robin Hemley. And back to you, Paul.
Okay. Lauren Redness, R-E-D-N-I-S-S, has invented a new kind of book. It's not a graphic novel. It's not a science kind of book, but it is all... It's one of these things I'm going to have to get you down to the bookstore to see.
All right.
Because it is just amazing. Her new one is Thunder and Lightning, Weather, Past, Present, and Future. Ooh. And I talked to her editor who said, trying to edit this, you know, you don't know what to say because... I think this should be a darker green. You know, what would you say?
And that the illustration you're showing me is a two full page illustration that's incredibly simple.
Yeah, but and she's a very, very good prose writer.
Huh.
And so there are. This is really a collection of essays, and art about. Weather.
Well, that's perfect for any Iowan, right?
Don't we love to talk about this? Isn't this our subject?
Well, and it's another book, just like the Bats of the Republic, which you talked about
mm-hmm.
earlier, Nancy,
yes,
that you cannot replace with an e-book in any way. This is a physical book you definitely need to see.
Her previous book was Radioactive, and it won. It was nominated for the National Book Award.
Mm-hmm.
It was the a biography of the Curies. You know, Pierre and Marie Curie, and that is now in paperback, and that is great.
All right. That is Thunder and Lightning, Weather, Past, Present, Future by Lauren Redness. And Nancy, back to you.
I'm going to do a little cheating and try to put three into one here. I don't think any gift-giving season is complete without a Jane Smiley book. As most of you know, she won the Pulitzer years ago for 1,000 Acres. She is now at the end of her trilogy, an Iowa-based trilogy, The Last 100 Years. This one is called Golden Age. And
is that the first one?
That's
this
the
is
third
the last one.
One.
That's the
this
last
is
one.
This is the last one. She starts on the Iowa farm with the Langdons, and we go through the next 100 years with that family.
And even a little bit into the future.
Yes, 2019 is when this book ends. And it's basically the story of Iowa itself as we have gone away from the farm, then to the small cities, and then to the big cities. I think everybody in Iowa should read it, and especially if you've grown up on a farm, you will find a lot to resonate with.
And she put
this
out
is
these
Iowa stories.
Right, they put out these books so quickly.
Right.
So you can actually get your hands on the whole trilogy within the space of a year,
right.
Which is pretty amazing.
I am hoping that next year there's a box set of the...
Oh,
I have no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. All right, that one is Golden Age by Jane Smiley, the third in her trilogy. And again, we've actually talked to her on Talk of Iowa twice about the trilogy, so you can go back and find out more about that, too. Jan.
Well, I have another thick tome, and this one truly is, and it's called The English and Their History by Robert Tomes, and he is British, and he's actually a French historian at Cambridge. And this is a history of the English people and their culture from the Bronze Age to the present.
Wow.
So it's 2,000 years of English history, but it's very readable. It in England last year it won the best book award from the Times Literary Supplement, and it was called that by The Economist too, because he's got this just sort of incredibly sort of encompassing personal voice that just draws you right in. And he says something really interesting, that if English history had been his field, he wouldn't have been able to write a book like this for the lay reader. It would have been, yeah, he would have been bogged down immediately in the academic stuff.
Oh, that makes it sound like fun.
Yeah, yeah, it's really fun.
So definitely for the Anglophile on your list.
Yes.
I need the gift of time to spend with a book that long, Jan. Yes.
But you can just dip into it again. I mean, not in the same way as Dear Mr. You, maybe, but.
But you can dip into different time periods and pick up things. Oh, that looks like so much fun. I say revealing my nerdiness. All right. That is The English and Their History by Robert Tombs. Mm-hmm. And Paul, back to you.
I have a book called Pitch by Pitch, My View of One Unforgettable Game.
You got a couple sports books this year. Yeah,
by Bob Gibson, who was considered one of the great pitchers to have played the game. And he was a great pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals. And he and a writer just get down with the tape or the film of one game. It was one of his most incredible, magical games. And they talk about every pitch he made. And he, with the help of the memory thing, you know, your memory device there, he's able to remember pretty much what he thought. You know, he'll talk about making a decision about what pitch to throw and where to throw it. And he goes on. And then he throws the ball and it's a foul ball.
So the whole story behind
This is the whole thing.
And then it's so inconsequential.
Yeah. And he puts all these great anecdotes. He was known as a hard guy, as a pitcher who would throw at people. But what he says is, I have to protect my guys. If the other pitcher is throwing at my guys, I don't have a choice. You know, there are these attitudes that I'm not used to hearing, and it's just a great baseball book.
All right, Pitch by Pitch by Bob Gibson, and back to you, Nancy.
I'm looking at the clock trying to prioritize
here. Yeah, we've got about 6 minutes left, so we'll go fast.
I do want to take us a bit into the future, coming out in January 2016, so this is what you can go to the local independent booksellers to buy with your gift certificates, called The Readers of Broken Wheel Recommend, a novel by Katarina Bivald. This is so much fun because Broken Wheel is a small town in Iowa. I mean, not really, but in this book. And
a recognizable one.
Right. Sarah from Sweden comes to Broken Wheel, Iowa, to meet her pen pal, fellow book lover Amy. She finds a down-and-out farm community filled with very negative people. How can that be?
I don't know any of those people.
And she finds Amy dead. But this is a very happy book, very feel good, and you will be smiling when you're done.
All right.
Okay.
So The Readers of Broken Wheel Recommend by Katrina Bivald. And Jan, back to you.
Well, I have sort of a companion book to the English and Their History, which is 1 year in the history of England. And it's called The Year of Lear, and it's Shakespeare in 1606. And 1606 is the year that he finished King Lear and that he wrote both Macbeth and Antony and Cleopatra.
Oh, wow.
And there's, you know, in terms of Shakespeare's life altogether, it's always hard to put together anything. And so this book doesn't try to do that. It stays more – it tracks more just what's going on that year.
Okay, so the general history putting it in a time and a place.
Mm-hmm. And it is – it's right after, you know, the reign of Elizabeth has ended and King James, who was a Scottish – Scottish is Catholic and Scottish is there. And so there's this gunpowder plot that's, you know, where – which attempts to assassinate him and fails. But there's all this kind of intrigue that he then ties to particularly, well, all three, Macbeth and Lear and Antony and Cleopatra.
Fun. Yeah. All right. Yeah. We like some of the same kind of fun, Dan, I think. The Year of Lear, Shakespeare in 1606 by James Shapiro. And Paul, back to you.
I've got a nonfiction book called On the Run by Alice Goffman, daughter of the great Irving Goffman, who was a sociologist. She was in school, and she wanted to find out about the people living in, I think it's Philadelphia, in neighborhoods, and getting involved with people who were at risk from the police all the time. And she discovered that, you know, they always talk about how many people are in jail. She says the police are just dying to put black males into jail. And it's incredibly poignant, because the cops will go to their girlfriends and say, you know, this is a bad guy. You should not be hanging out with this guy, and, you know, trying to get them into jail. And it's quite controversial for many reasons, but it is gorgeous writing of this kind of stuff. And people like Cornel West and Skip Gates have given it huge praise. Right. It's in paperback now. It's just new in paperback.
All right. On the Run by Alice Goffman. Nancy.
I think after that, we better have a feel-good book. That one doesn't. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. The Improbability of Love by Hannah Rothschild is such a feel-good book. A young lady named Annie McDee discovers a famous French painting while she's shopping in a collector's shop. You know, she didn't know how much it was worth, of course. But once its value is known, then everybody is an art expert. And, of course, everybody wants to be her friend. This results in a very funny, delightful romp of a story. And you're going to laugh and enjoy it. Feel it good.
All right, The Improbability of Love by Hannah Rothschild. You can each throw out one more title with three words about it. Jan, do you have one more you want to mention?
Well, I do kind of just want to go back to Paul's, because there are two books that just occurred to me that go along really well with that.
Okay.
And one was the All Ira Reads book, Just Mercy, by Brian Stevenson. Mm-hmm. And the other is the book that just won the National Book Award by Ta-Nehisi Coates, called Between the World and Me. And I just want to say quickly that Brian Stevenson said when he was in Iowa City this fall that the kinds of problems that young black men get into are the result of life experiences in their families and stuff that are often just the same kind of trauma that we call post-traumatic stress in war victims. And that if we looked at it that way and treated it that way, rather than just seeing it as
bad guys,
mm-hmm. things could change mm-hmm. quickly. I mean, just with another paradigm like that.
Yeah.
Well, we are out of time. Dan, thank you
so
much. Jan Weissmiller and Paul Ingram of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. Thank you both so much.
Thanks for the fun, Charity.
Yeah.
It's always fun with you.
Nancy Simpson Bryce, former manager of the Book Vault in Oskaloosa. Nancy, thank you so much.
Thank you. I should say, she keeps saying former manager, and I am the former manager, but the store is still there.
Right.
Yes.
All right.
New manager.
Yes.
That is important.
Well, I should have probably talked about this last, but I just couldn't resist.
Oh, well, you know. That's all right. We're out of time. But thank you all so much. And we will put this entire list up online later today, iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. Mm-hmm.